Gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, the first came before him saying, Lord, thy pound hath made 10 pounds more. It is written, and the second came saying, thy pound, Lord, hath made 5 pounds. It is written, and another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. It is written, take away from him that hath the pound, and give it unto him that hath the 10 pounds. It is written, but these mine enemies, that would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. He said therefore unto them, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called 10 servants of his and gave them 10 pounds and said unto them, trade ye herewith till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent an ambassage after him, saying, we will not have this man reign over us. And it came to pass, when he was come back again, having received the kingdom, that he commanded the servants, unto whom he had given the money, to be called unto him, that he might know what they had gained by trading. A shout, a trumpet note, a glorious presence in the azure sky, a gasp, a thrill of joy, and we are with him in the twinkling of an eye. A glance, an upward look, caught up to be with Christ forevermore. The dead alive, the living glorified, fulfilled are all the promises that came before. His face, his joy supreme, our souls find rapture at his feet. Blameless, without spot, we enter into heaven's joy complete. Oh, strike harps, oh, sound his praise. We know him as we never knew before. God's love, God's matchless grace. 'twill take eternity to tell while we adore. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to this message from Luke chapter 19 entitled, Transact Business Till I Come. A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Jesus is a nobleman who went into the far country. The far country is heaven. How far away is heaven? As far as the Christian is concerned, heaven is not very far away. For now in Christ Jesus have ye that were once afar off been made nigh by the blood of Christ. The nobleman said that he would also return, but he did not say when. In a similar parable, he indicated that it might be a long time. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and made a reckoning with them. It might be a long time before the nobleman returns. He could have been thinking about the 21st century or even longer. But we can be just as sure the nobleman will return as we can be sure that he told us the truth. He did say, "If I go, I come again." Now before the nobleman went to the far country, he called 10 servants of his and gave them each a pound. He told them to trade herewith till I come. Transact business till I come. 1 pound for each servant is not very much. One estimate is about $20, more or less. Whatever the amount is, it isn't very much, but it is all that we have been given. Obviously, none of us can do very much in the service of the nobleman. The person who can lead 20,000 people to the nobleman has not done much more than the person who only leads one person to the nobleman. When you put it in perspective, think of the 6 billion people in the world and 20,000 is a drop in the bucket. 20,000 converts are closer to one convert than the 6 billion population. Then add to that the number that no man can number from every tribe and tongue and nation, and the contribution of any of us is even more insignificant. None of us can do very much for the nobleman. Our 1 pound is our ability. Our 1 pound is the gospel. Our 1 pound is the grace of God. 1 pound for each of us. There is not much difference in any of us before God. We each have 1 pound, and even that was given to us. Paul says in one place, that thou hast what thou hast has been given unto thee. It is astounding when you think of the return of the 1 pound well invested when the nobleman returns. One person was given authority over 10 cities. Another authority over 5 cities. The reward of our small service in the service of the nobleman is fantastic. Notice the commendation of the nobleman to the man who had gained 10 pounds. He did not say, "Well done, thou fantastic and brilliant servant." His word of praise fell short of such accolades. He said, "Well done, thou good servant. Thou hast been faithful." If the Lord tells us that we have been good and faithful, that should be high praise for anybody. Then think also of the return on the 1 pound in regards to your service. We sometimes hear singing here on earth that thrills our souls. When the nobleman returns, those talents will be amplified to the nth degree. Your singing will make all the orchestras and bands of this world sound like a bunch of kazoos. Some of you think you can sing only in the shower. Think of what you will sound like when you sing in the celestial shower in heaven. You might even be able to outdo Elvis. Notice also how the servants made their report to the nobleman. They did not claim anything for themselves. They did not say, "Hey, look what we did." They said, "Thy pound, Lord, hath gained 10 pounds or 5 pounds. It wasn't us. It was the pound that did it." Paul says in 1 Corinthians that he labored more abundantly than all the other apostles. He said, I did more than Peter. I did more than John. I did more than James. I did more than all of them. Did he mean individually or all of them put together? It would be hard to argue with the conclusions that he made. However, after saying that, he said, hold the phone. Scratch that. Wait a minute. Let me restate that. It wasn't I that did it. It was the grace of God that was in me that did it. Paul said, I am nothing. The gospel is everything. Thy pound, Lord, hath gained 10 pounds. Thy pound, Lord, hath gained 5 pounds. We haven't done anything. It is the pound that God gave us, the grace of God that was given to us that did it. Then think what the man with no interest said to the nobleman. He said, Lord, here is thy pound. The nobleman said he didn't want it. He said, give it to him that hath 10 pounds. All the good a person can do in this world and the heights of popularity he may achieve, apart from the will of the Lord, will be rejected on that day. One famous singer died and was buried with a bottle of booze and a carton of cigarettes in his casket. One of the mourners said at the funeral, since that person had died, heaven would never be the same. The real truth of the matter may be that God will say, you may have had a great voice, but I don't need it up here. You did it your way and not my way. In addition to the rewards that the nobleman gave the 10-city and the 5-city man was what he said to the servant who laid up the pound in a napkin. When asked why the napkin fellow said he feared, why did he fear? Why was he afraid of the nobleman? He said he wanted to play it safe. The nobleman asked him why he had not put his money in the bank, and at least he could have drawn interest. The man did not draw any interest. Many people in the church are in the napkin class. They have no real interest in the Lord's work, no real interest in prayer, no real interest in the Word of God, no real interest in any kind of mission program of their local work. Anything and everything that comes along has priority over the kingdom of God. On top of that, he said, I was afraid. Fear is one of the greatest hindrances to the Lord's work. Aaron told Moses he built the golden calf and they danced naked around it because he feared the people. Ancient Israel was afraid to enter the promised land and developed a grasshopper mentality. They said that the land was full of giants, and we are grasshoppers in their sight. The world is still full of giants, as far as the servants of God are concerned. The usual servant of God may feel like a grasshopper, preaching to a congregation of giants. He fears to mention any gospel truth that is unpopular. He imagines he hears these giants muttering in the pew, fee, fi, fo, fum. And now, ladies and gentlemen, remember, the nobleman said, transact business till I come. Here are several of the nobleman's businesses that need to be transacted. And please note that each one of these areas is connected with the return of the nobleman. The first business to be transacted is the preaching business. In 2 Thessalonians, Paul tells us, the Lord will return in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them who know not God and who have not obeyed the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The nobleman is not coming to take vengeance only on the dope pushers, murderers, perverts, drunkards, and prostitutes. He is coming to take vengeance on all those pious, religious neighbors and friends of ours who have not obeyed the gospel. Paul identifies the gospel as the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Jesus said that this gospel must be preached beginning from Jerusalem. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That is the message you hear on this broadcast week after week and month after month. Ladies and gentlemen, I would just as well stand before the nobleman on the day of judgment. I wouldn't want to really do it, but if I stood there dead drunk, unable to keep my balance, and confessed on the judgment day that I was the author of every sex-drenched magazine on the newsstands today, and that I made my living pushing drugs, I would just as soon say that as to stand there cold sober and admit that I lived in a country where I had every opportunity to obey the gospel and make my life count for Christ and turn down every opportunity and slam the door in God's face, because a nobleman will come in flaming fire and take vengeance on them who have not obeyed the gospel. The gospel must be preached in view of the return of the nobleman. About 30 years ago, a new congregation that ran about 60 in attendance started helping this radio broadcast. About 25 years later, when their attendance had grown to several hundreds, they decided to stop supporting this program. Someone asked them why they stopped helping God Is Just a Prayer Away. One of the elders of the church told them, "Ed's a good preacher, and the message he preached was all right 30 years ago, but today we need something different." He further stated that it was embarrassing to have their friends come to services and be told that they needed to be immersed for the remission of sins. Perhaps that elder had never read what Jesus said, "Whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous generation, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in his glory with his Father with his angels." The gospel in its fullness must be preached, because it is the business of the nobleman. And the nobleman said, "Transact business till I come." Another area of the nobleman's business is the paying business. What is the resurrection chapter of the Bible? Perhaps the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians could be called by that title. In that chapter, Paul tells us how the nobleman will return. He speaks of a shout from heaven, the suddenness of the twinkling of an eye, the righteous dead being raised incorruptible, death being swallowed up in victory, the sting of death removed, and thanksgiving for the victory. What follows in the first verse of the next chapter should not be overlooked. The next chapter begins, "Now concerning the collection." You see, after thinking of the nobleman's return in all the glory of our resurrection, the natural question for us all at that stage of the game is, what can I do to advance the kingdom of God? How much money can I give? That is why Paul anticipates your thinking by saying, "Now concerning the collection." The nobleman wants to be more than a hometown god. He wants to be more than your own private tribal god. He wants to be the God of all people everywhere. The vision of most churches is narrowed down to the confines of the church lot. If we can take in enough money to pay the preacher and the insurance and then have 10% left over, the devil's 10%, for mission work, they think they're in business. That may be the way to conduct the devil's business, but not the nobleman's business. Reaching out beyond the local congregation is the business of the nobleman. Transact business till I come. Listen up now for another area of the nobleman's business, the praising business. The Apostle Paul in the book of Hebrews says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, and much the more as ye see the day drawing nigh." To forsake means abandon. Some church members abandon the Lord on the Lord's day. Forsake also means to leave in the lurch. Some church members leave the church in the lurch on the Lord's day. To forsake means to desert. Some church members desert the Lord and his church on the Lord's day. Paul continues his tirade. He says, "To miss the assembly is to trample underfoot the Son of God, and that you have done despite to the Spirit of grace. For a person to deliberately miss the assembling together is the height of impudence to God Almighty. You might as well take the elements of the loaf and the cup and stomp on them before going to the game to worship your million-dollar ball players. The program of the worship service is definitely in the ballpark of the nobleman's business, and so much the more as ye see the day drawing nigh. What day is that? The only answer that makes any sense to us in this day and time is the day of the arrival of the nobleman. Ladies and gentlemen, the nobleman is coming again. It is well to remember that Jesus arose from the dead on Sunday. He made most of his appearances on Sunday after the resurrection. The church began on Sunday. The first gospel sermon was preached on Sunday. The Lord's Supper was observed on Sunday. A special offering was taken in the church of Galatia on Sunday. John wrote the book of Revelation on Sunday. What a grim joke on the nominal church member if the nobleman should suddenly return on Sunday. Transact business till I come. Now let us consider another area of the nobleman's business, the persevering business. In 2 Peter, the Apostle Peter tells us what happens and what manner of lives we ought to live. He says the day of the Lord will come as a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements being on fire will melt with a fervent heat, and the earth and all things therein will be burned up. Then he says, seeing that this is going to happen, what manner of lives ought we to live in all holy living and godliness, as we look for and earnestly desire the coming of the day of God? Peter's admonition is that we should live in such a way that we actually desire for the nobleman to come any time. Do you as a Christian want the Lord to come right now? John prayed, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." Paul said, "We look for the blessed hope and appearing of the great God, our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a people of his own possession, zealous of good works." As far as the Lord's return is concerned, the Christian, as Christians, we need to look for it, desire it, and pray for it. Transact business till I come. And now a very important area of the nobleman's business also is the praying business. One of the great statements about prayer was when Jesus said, "We ought always to pray." He told the story of the unjust judge who feared not God and had no regard whatever for man. A certain widow came one day after day, begging, "Avenge me of mine adversary." He would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, "Though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her." The Lord said, "Shall not God avenge his elect that cry to him day and night?" Then the Lord said, "When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Evidently, the Lord, the nobleman, does not expect to find much faith left on the earth when he returns. How much faith is there left now? How about what he said in the Great Commission according to Mark? "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." How many people do you know who really believe that statement anymore? If he should come today, the nobleman would not find very much faith left now. And what about that statement that he made about hell when he said, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into the eternal fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angels"? The devil has convinced most people there is no hell, and the list goes on. If the nobleman should come today, he would not find much faith left now. But the one thing we can be sure about is the fact that the nobleman will return. so transact business till I come. Now this, in conclusion. Ladies and gentlemen, this story that Jesus told has a horrible conclusion to it. When the nobleman returns, he said, "These mine enemies, that would not that I should reign over me, bring hither and slay them before me." Since it was the Lord Jesus who made that statement, we have to take it seriously. Jesus did come into the world. Jesus did die on the cross. Jesus did arise from the dead. Jesus did ascend into heaven. Jesus is coming again. Jesus will judge the human race. So, ladies and gentlemen, in view of the return of the nobleman, the gospel of Christ is not to be taken lightly. Your acceptance or rejection of the terms of pardon is a life and death matter. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition. Tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.